week's title for the Shmooze was, "And You Thought Paroi Was Stubborn?" A little about stubbornness, about Paroi, about ourselves, hopefully. We'll see what we can do about it. Two weeks ago, we spoke a little about chesed, and we said the first step of doing chesed is being able to put yourself and imagine yourself in the correct position to focus on another person, what they need, and not be overcome by their needs, not to be overwhelmed by it, and how to take care of it properly. And hopefully throughout tonight's Vart, we'll be able to come to a second step of chesed. The parasha begins. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Hashem spoke to Moshe. Boy el Aaron. Boy el Paroi. Come to Paroi. Ki ani echbarati esli boy eslev avodav. I've hardened and I've made stubborn his heart and the heart of his servants. L'mashizi oisay zayela bekir boy, so that I could go and perform all my signs amongst him. You should be able to tell over the great story how I made a fool out of Mitzrayim and made a joke out of them. V'yadavtem ki ani Hashem, and you'll know that I am Hashem. There's a well-known question everybody asks, and that is, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe Rabbeinu to go to Paroi? Go to Paroi because I have made him stubborn. Everybody asked this question. I specifically heard it from the Shiva of Shmuel Birnbaum Zatzal. Rashi says, "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, boy al Paroi, come to Paroi." Zog Rashi, two words. To Hisra boy. Warn him. That's all Hashem had to say. Warn him. That's what we're doing. We're going to warn him now about Arba, Choshech, and Makas Bechiris. Why does Hashem have to tell Moshe Rabbeinu a reason? Ki ani echbarati, and why is it a reason? The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making Paroi's heart stubborn is not a reason for Moshe to go to him. It's going to provide a spectacular fireworks display of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's miracles, but it has nothing to do with Moshe Rabbeinu's approaching him right now. It's a general thing. Hashem's making him stubborn. L'man tesaper b'aznei vilcha. I'm making Paroi stubborn, so you guys will have a great story to tell over by the Pesach Seder. But that has nothing to do with Moshe Rabbeinu's approach to Paroi. Why say, come to Paroi, because I have made him stubborn? The purpose of making Paroi stubborn, as all the Mefarshim and the Psukim bring out, was for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go and Taka bring out a tremendous level of open miracles that has never been displayed before. And all of this is done with Tavis Klai Yisrael. And Taka, we have a heritage to give over that nobody has ever denied. We've had these miracles. We left Mitzrayim, an entire nation, millions and millions of people. We traveled in the desert. Unbelievable. Doesn't say, Anoichi Hashem Lekecha, who made the world. Anoichi Hashem Lekecha, Hashem Tzitzicha Mi'eretz Mitzrayim. That's what we talk about. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. The Sepurna says that the purpose of the 10 Makkos, of course there was the reason of L'man Tesaper B'aznei Bincha, but the main reason for the Makkos was really for Paroi himself. And that was to bring Paroi to the realization, like it says earlier in the Parashiyos, L'man Yeda, that he should know, Ki Ani Hashem Bekerev Ha'aretz. Paroi doubted HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Paroi said, Mi Hashem, who is God that I should listen to his voice? Yeah, we know God created the world, but you know, he left it for us magicians to take over. Who's God? Bekerev Haaretz. Who's God here that's still running the world? And Hashem said, I'm going to show you through all the forces of nature that I'm in control. And that is going to bring you to the recognition. And in the end, as we know, the Medrash says, Paroi was taka left over from Kriyas Yamzuf. He did tshuva, and according to many, that was the same Paroi who ended up building the city of Nineveh, who did tshuva by Yoina. This is an unbelievable Paroi. So the Sepurna says that the point of the 10 Makkos was to bring Paroi finally to a level of recognition, to do tshuva, to a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ruler of the world, free his nation, and Paroi could really come to a madrega of Hakaras Hashem. Because Paroi has to learn his lesson, we have to suffer. There was a dual purpose in this whole Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yes, one of them may have been to bring Paroi to tshuva, but another one was to get us out of the place. We were having terrible tzaras. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have brought one H-bomb, goodbye to Mitzrayim, and it wouldn't affect Goshen, and we'll all walk out. And I'll deal with Paroi some other time. Bring some other miracles in. Why do we have to suffer an elongated exit throughout the Makkos? We wanted to get out already. We have to suffer and wait through all the Makkos. Every single Makkah lasted for about a month. The Makkah was 1 week, and then there was the warning, and then the break in between. Every Makkah was about a month. So this whole process of the Makkos took almost a year. Where do we come into the picture? How about us? Hashem's going to extend our Golus in Mitzrayim because of Paroi? So Paroi should learn a lesson? There's a Tzidkes HaTzadik I've quoted once before from Reb Tzadik HaKayin of Lublin, who says that every Golus Klai Yisrael has been through, we absorb something from the Goyim that we're in, hopefully in a good way. And whatever Maila and Midah Tova, a spark of Kedusha, that the Ummah that is subjugating us, they have in them, through us being in the Golus, we're able to draw that Kedusha back to its proper place and grow from it. We're able to get that Kedusha back to Klai Yisrael. One example that I believe I've mentioned here before was with Esther. He says that Achashverosh, we know, had the Midah of Tznius. Even though he tried out another woman every single night. But we know he had the Midah of Tznius, that at least he was with them only at night and not by day. Tznius. And through Esther and her Tznius and her acting through Pritzis, however it worked, with her whole thing with Achashverosh, she was able to get Klai Yisrael back to the Madrega and draw that Kedusha of Tznius. This is all things which I don't have a full understanding of. But the general idea is that through every Golus we're in, there's something for us to gain from being in that Golus. There's some kind of Kedusha, some Midah Toiva that we have to gain, and there's a Midah Ra that we're challenged by. What was it in Mitzrayim? What were we supposed to learn from in Mitzrayim? We come out of the Tzrayim with this new Kenyan to free us into a Matziv and a holy Madrega of Geula because we've attained the level that we were supposed to by drawing that Midah Kedosha out of Mitzrayim. Perhaps this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu. Boy, Opar, come to Paroi. I didn't just harden his heart and make him stubborn to teach him a lesson, to bring out my miracles in him. But it's for you. This is a reason for you to go to Paroi. I want to show you someone with such a stubborn heart. I want you to be exposed to a heart of stone. And you could see for your own eyes somebody's withstanding the greatest miraculous tsaras in the world, and he's holding by his own. I want you to see this, Moshe Rabbeinu. I want Klal Yisrael to see this. Klal Yisrael is going to sit through another year, basically, watching the Makkos come upon Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim is standing there stubborn. And it's not just to teach Mitzrayim a lesson, it's for Klai Yisrael's sake. Klai Yisrael is going to walk out of Mitzrayim what we all know to be a Gnai, but there's nothing that's totally a Gnai about a Yid. Can anybody say there's anything really bad about a Jew? Everything about a Yid has something good about it. And Klal Yisrael is going to leave Mitzrayim, a wonderful Am Kishay Oyref. I'm expecting the soda bottles to come throwing at me. Nobody. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's talking to the Bnei Yoelim about the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim right after the Eagle, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forgive Klal Yisrael! Ki Am Kishay Oyrefu! There's a number of pshatim. Ki Am Kishay Oyrefu. They're a stubborn nation, forgive them! Perhaps this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. You put us through Mitzrayim to take out a lesson, Gufa, of what it means to be Kshei Yarev. What it means to be stubborn. We've learned it. We've absorbed it. It's part of our blood. We are an Am Kshei Yarev. And Avada, sometimes it's got its Chesroinus. But it's got its Mailus also. You know something? We're a Klal Yisrael. And it's only our Am Kshei Yarev that led us through Makis worse than Mitzrayim had. We've gone through the Spanish Inquisition. We've gone through pogroms. We've gone through the Crusades. We've gone through the Holocaust. We haven't gone through 10 Makis like Mitzrayim. And did we give in? Did we give in and say, Nihia kechol agoyim? Give in! We're giving up! Drop the Torah! We're an Am Kishay Oyref. And Rabbi Akiva was able to say Hashem Echad while his skin was being torn off. And so many Yidden were able to say Shema Yisrael when they were burnt at the stake. You think you could do that without being an Am Kishay Oyref? It's impossible. It probably took a little Am Kishay Oyref for everybody to come here tonight. You know, my father's not giving the shir, but you know, Monday night we have a kriyas, we're going to come anyway. It's a stubbornness. It's an Amtse Yoyref. And that's the only thing that kept us through the galus. It's an unbelievable Tana Deve Elio. Tana Deve Elio says that the Mitzrayim came to the Yidden. And they said, Yidden, Yidden, we see that you started getting married again after Amram took back his wife. All of the Yidden started taking back their wives. At first, everybody divorced their wives. There's no point in staying married if our kids are being thrown into the river. But when Amram took his wife back, everybody took their wives back. And they started making Sheva Brachis and Chasanas. And they were dancing and they had music. And the Mitzrayim would come into the Chasana and say, Meshugoyim, what are you rejoicing? It's all going to go for waste. Tomorrow you're all going to be back into the slavery with Tsaris and your kids are going to be killed. Like, what are you rejoicing? And Klal Yisrael answered, did our forefathers get married besimcha and make sheva brachas? Do you think we're going to drop what they did? We will do what they did and you do what you want. Klal Yisrael started giving birth to babies. Shisha bekeres echot, tons of babies. And Klal Yisrael started giving bris milah to their baby boys. And the bris milah, you'd have the Mitzrayim come in and visit. And the Mitzrayim would say, Yidden, what are you doing? What are you putting in all the effort? Give it a few more days and we're going to be coming down and dumping them in the river. What are you doing? And Klal Yisrael said the same thing. Our forefathers gave a bris milah to their children. Did they ever give in and say, Nihia kechola amin? Did they give in? We're not giving in. We're going to do the same thing. We do what we have to do. You have to do what you have to do. Klal Yisrael didn't give a reason for what they were doing. All they said was, we're not budging. This is what our forefathers did. Our forefathers did this. We're doing this. You got your thing to do. We got our thing to do. Butt out. We're continuing. We have to do what our forefathers did. Am Kshayim. Gevaldik Amayla. When it's used properly. Hashem wasn't just exposing Klal Yisrael to a stone-hearted person, just to teach them about Am Ksheh Eretz, because we know Am Ksheh Eretz is a chasarin as well. Stubbornness can be a terrible chasarin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was also showing Klal Yisrael how to break it. When there's a stubbornness that's inappropriate, he was also teaching us, look, I'm going to show you somebody who had a heart of stone. Someone who nothing could budge him, and yet, in the end, he gave it. And that's something which we've mentioned before as well. Rabbi Akiva, it's an unbelievable thing I saw in the Parshas Vayechi. There's a sefer called Tosfos HaShalem. It's a collection from the Bali Tosfos' writing on Chumash. Bavli, Yerushalmi, Stam, other Svarim. It's from the Bali Tosfos. And in Parshas Vayechi, it says, Yisachar Chamor Garem. Yisachar is like a mule who's carrying a load. Sakta Taisvis. This refers to, we know Yisachar was the one who learned Torah all the time. Yisachar Chamor Garem, Yaakov Avinu was saying a prophecy about the Asara Haruge Malchus. As we know, the Asara Haruge Malchus, the 10 people that were killed, they were all because of the Avera of selling Yosef. And Yaakov Avinu was telling Yisachar that the one who's going to be representing you in the Asara Ruge Malchus, he's going to have a full kapara, a full tshuva, a full aliyah. You know who that is? Rabbi Akiva. So Yaakov Avinu, Rabbi Akiva, you know why he got punished with this pella? Do you know why Rabbi Akiva was punished with the blade, the steel blades? Even though Avad is the Asara Ruge Malchus and has something to do with the Shvatim, but everybody had to have their own Avir too. And he says Rabbi Akiva's chet was that when he was an Amoritz, he used to say, Halavai, I would get a hold of a Talmud Chacham, va'anashchenu kichamor. I'm going to bite him like a chamor bites. And because he had such a hatred for Talmid Chachamim, and he said, I would halavai bite them and crush their bones like a chamor, that was his chet. That's where there was room for him to be punished. And that was Chamor Garim. Chamor! Because he said he's going to bite them like a chamor, he considered himself to be a chamor. And he's biting the Chachamim as a chamor would bite them. That's what caused him to end up being killed. But Lamaisa Itaka of the Tshuva, Rabbi Akiva became Rabbi Akiva. And he had his tremendous aliyah. That's what Yaakov Avinu was saying. So I believe I've said once before, the Mashkiach said, why did he say, I'm going to bite the Talmid HaChachamim like a chamor, like a donkey, like a mule? Because a donkey's teeth are flat, but they are extremely strong. And what he meant to say was that you, Talmid HaChachamim, you've all learned a lot of Torah, but Torah doesn't change a person. You're the same old basketball player like I was, 40 years back. What are you acting, what's with the frock and the up hat and everybody standing up for you? You know better than I am. You've educated yourself. You've learned a lot of Torah. But your insides are just as rotten as mine. That's what Rabbi Akiva was saying. I'm not going to puncture your skin. You got a nice skin. But I'm going to crush your bones because your insides haven't changed. He didn't see that Torah could change the insides of a person until he saw the rock. And he saw the water on the rock and he said, wow. If water after time and consistency can incrementally break away and create a hole in a rock, a stone that's so hard, kol shekein v'kol shekein Torah, if it's incrementally done on a consistent basis, it can change the heart of man. And he became a changed person. He became Rabbi Akiva. Sakta b'rei olam to Moshe Rabbeinu and to Gans Klal Yisrael. I'm providing you an exposure to a Lev Evan like you've never seen before, to a stubbornness that is unimaginable, but I'm going to show you how you can break it. Not in one swoop, a huge bomb and let Klal Yisrael out. We've said this a few times. The way to change is by increments. The way to change a heart is by breaking something down into many parts. When you have to lift something very heavy, we have something called a lever. The mechanics of a lever, I'm not a mathematician or whatever chachma you need for these types of things, but the basic chachma of a lever is that you've got 1,000 pounds in about 6 inches. So you need a lot of energy to get the 1,000 pounds up. But when you have a lever, you use a jack, a very simple lever. Okay? What you're doing is you're dividing that 1,000 pounds into the entire distance of the jack, where you're holding it up there, and you bring it down here. So that little 6 inches of 1,000 pounds now becomes 1,000 pounds divided by a few feet. And each foot is only about 75 pounds that you have to pick up. It becomes much easier. That's how leverage, basic idea of how leverage works. That's how our hearts work. That's how a stone gets broken. When you break up this job of splitting this diamond, this hard thing, it's impossible. But if you could break it up into increments, you're dividing the amount of strength that's needed. You're dividing the weight, the mass, the heaviness, and now you're able to do it with much less energy because it's done over time. That is the aside of how the water breaks the rock, and that's how the aside of how anything can change our heart. Breaking something down into small increments and developing it with tremendous consistency over time. So Klai Yisrael, Zakta Ibishta, Klai Yisrael, look, you're going to gain this unbelievable midah that's going to carry you through every tzara that Golus could produce. Am Ksei Yoyev. It's a gewaldige midah on one end. And on the other hand, it could be terrible. To get you guys to change a midah ra, it's going to be very hard also. You're stubborn. But I'm giving you the tools of how to do it. Don't do one makkah. Don't try to change a midah in one shot. It's got to be done in small, consistent acts. Boy, al pari. Ki ani ekbarati yisli. Go. I want you to see Paroi, because I made his heart hard. And you're going to see what it means to be stubborn and how to change. Pirkei Avos, the first parak, says as follows. Mishnah Yud Beis. Hillel and Shammai kiblu mehem. Hillel and Shammai received the Kabbalah and the Messiah from Shammai and Naftalian. Hillel Oimer, very familiar. Hevei mi tamidav shel Aaron. Oyev shalayim, roidev shalayim, oyev esabriyas and lekavin l'teira. Very well known, very well liked Mishnah. Oyev shalayim, who doesn't like that? Love Shalom. Two Mishnayos later, Shammai Yomer. Asei Teiroscha Keva. Emor Ma'at Vasei Arbei. Vehevi Mekabel Eskola Odom Sever Ponim Yafis. Maral says a beautiful pshat in this Hillel v'Shammai. Hillel and Shammai got the Messiah from the same place. They were what we called Zugos. They were partners. They argued on a lot of things. Hillel and Shammai. Hillel said, Oyev Shalim, Oyev Shalim. Shammai says, Asei Teros Chokva, Emor Ma'at Vasei Abay, Fevi Mekabel, Eskola Odom, Seva Pranam Yafos. Greet everybody with a wonderful face. Maral says a beautiful pshat. Hillel, we know, was the master of being mevater on his own rutzayin. It says Hillel never got upset. Never. He was a master. You know the famous Gemara in Shabbos where two people had a bet if they could get Hillel angry. And they went to Imamish right before Shabbos, and Hillel was in the middle of taking his shower, and he called him up, and he asked him a ridiculous shayla, and Hillel answered him calmly, and he went back in, and he asked him another ridiculous shayla, he came back out. Right? We know that Hillel was a master at breaking his own and giving in for others. That's who Hillel was. Shammai, we all know, is the opposite. Shammai's midah was a kaftan. He was a kaftan. He was ma'amad es midaysav. He kept his midas established. Who he wasn't bending. And we know the general approach, Chazal say, is to take Hillel's approach. In general, as a general perspective, we're supposed to go with Hillel's approach. It's always being a vater on yourself. But Shammai wasn't wrong. Shammai, for himself, was doing the right thing. So the machlok is between Hillel and Shammai. Hillel holds you don't have to greet every single person with a wonderful smiling face every morning. You know why? I have a different way to arrange shalom. If everybody is just looking for shalom, shalom takes compromises. So everybody understands you got to give in. No, so this morning he didn't smile at me. Big deal. So he didn't say good morning. Okay. I have shalom, right of shalom. That's what it means. To be I have shalom, right of shalom means just want peace and harmony, which means just give in. Give in, give in, give in, give in. That was Hillel. Just give in. Shammai was all about holding by his own. Oh, just give in. What do you mean? You gotta stand by your own. But Shammai also has an eitzah how to get to the exact same result as Hillel. If everyone is extremely makpid to always be the first to give shalom with a happy, smiling face, be very makpid on it. Be the first. Always give a smiling face to every single person you see. You'll have just as much shalom. Without ever having to break a midah, without ever having to give in on your personality. Be very makpid. And that's his lashon. Have a mekabel as kol ha'adam. Every single human being. Ha'adam even includes a guy. Adam is just Yisrael, and Ha'adam even includes a guy. Have a mekabel as kol ha'adam is saved upon him in the office. Be extremely stubborn. Hold by your own. Never, ever once give in. Always walk around and be mekabel as kol ha'adam is saved upon him in the office. So even if someone's not so kind-hearted, he's not so gracious, he's not in such a great mood, he has a way to become just as much of a Baal Chesed and Baal Shalim as Hillel. If he's always makdim Shalim and Maz B'ponim, L'chol Adam. That means you can retain your midah of Kshei Oiref and yet tweak it and adjust the parts that are no good. If you need to develop kindness, this is the way to develop kindness, even by being a stubborn person. Use your stubbornness in kindness. Use your stubbornness in chesed. Use your stubbornness to always smile at other people, no matter what kind of day you're having. And in that way, a person can be stubborn, yet still perfect his midos. That's what Shammai said. Shulchan Aruch and Simon Veitch Man Tess and Hilchas Tzedakah Sif Gimel says as follows: Tzarech Litein HaTzedakah B'Seiv Eponim Yavis. Hilchas Tzedakah, you have to give Tzedakah B'Seiv Eponim Yavis with a happy countenance, B'Simcha U'B'Tuv Levav U'Mis'Oinen Ima Ani B'Tzarei, and feel the pain of the Ani U'Medar B'Eloi, and speak to him Divrei Tanchumen, words to calm him and make him feel better. And if you give tzedakah with an angry face, you're upset about it, hifsid schusay, lost the whole schus. You give the guy a $10,000 check, he's going to support him for the next, I don't know how, nowadays I don't know what $10,000 is going to do, but give him a nice nedava, but you give it with an upset face, hifsid schusay. It's all in the face. And another Meir Muck. We'll skip to the stories. Shlaima Volba, Chazal in the Sefer Ali Shur brings down a story about a friend of his, someone he knew personally. His name was Rav Moshe Rosenstein. Rav Moshe Rosenstein, as a young boy, switched yeshivas, and he was going to the very, very famous, almost like the Harvard of Musar yeshivas. He was going to Kelm. I don't know if you guys know anything about Kelm. It's a scary place, Kelm. Read the book the art school put out on Rav Dessler. You got a little picture of what Kelm looked like. I'll give you a little example. It was like a training army. They worked on being in 100% complete self-control in Kelm. Everything. 100% control. And to give you a little glimpse at what it was, their garbage cans were made with an angular bottom so that it would mamish be just balanced and would be very easily tipped. So that no one dare throw something into the garbage, because the whole thing will tip over and you'd have to clean it. You need to throw something in the garbage, you go to the garbage and you drop it in. This was Kelm. Scary place to go to as a freshie. And Rav Moshe Rosenstein is going to Kelm for his first time, a young man, I don't know exactly how old he was, and he was dead scared. And he goes into the lobby, into the face, the coat room, whatever it was, outside the base of Medrash, and he's unsure what his next move should be. Does he go to the Altaf in Kelm, to the Fair? Does he go to the base of Medrash? He was trying to sort his mind, and he's all nervous. And suddenly a younger man comes out from the base of Medrash, and he spots Rav Moshe, and he runs over to Shalom Aleichem. Wow, it's so good to see you. How you doing? How was your trip? And you came from so far. It's like, wow, this guy must know me from my father's friend, probably a cousin. I don't recognize his face. He's older than me. Maybe it's his beard. I wasn't sure, but okay, he felt so good. The guy said, come on, you come and eat something. You're probably hungry. You're coming for breakfast. Kavaldik, he comes and he's wonderful. Very well taken care of. Okay. He's done with his breakfast. He's going to go into first Seder, into the yeshiva, expecting to meet the altar. And he's about to enter the Beis HaMedrash. Suddenly the door to the Beis HaMedrash opens, and another younger man comes out. And the guy says, Shalom Aleichem! How are you? What's doing? You know, you came from so far. He's like, my gosh, I have two relatives here. And then as he's thinking these thoughts, another guy walks out, and the same response. And it finally hit him that this is the training in Kelm. They had such an unbelievable level of perfecting this mekabel, this kola odom, the sefer upon the office. He mamish thought, I must be family with this guy. It didn't seem fake, and it didn't seem like a frumkeit, and like, oh, I'm trying to work on my midas, let me put on a smile for you. They worked on it enough that it was natural. Felt natural, looked natural. And it was natural. They came to a level of Ahavas Yisrael that they really appreciated seeing another Yid. He brings down another story about of Shlomo Volba, about Tshuva, who came to him. He was very involved with the Baal Tshuva after the Six-Day War, of Shlomo Volba. And Baal Tshuva once came to him to talk to him, and within the conversation, Rav Shlomo Volba asked him, what led you to become from? He said, I'll tell you, I was living in a neighborhood which was completely, completely secular. There was a single, one Orthodox Jew. It was one from Yid. The entire neighborhood, everybody, there was no shul, there was no mikveh, no nothing. Completely fry neighborhood in Eretz Yisrael. And it was one from. And growing up, I've noticed everybody walked around the neighborhood with a certain level of neediness, a certain level of feeling of lacking. It wasn't the giving feeling. People weren't so giving in terms of saying a good morning. Never got a good morning from anybody. And there was this one frum guy who lived in the neighborhood, and every morning he was known in the whole neighborhood. This guy would walk around with a good morning and a happy, smiling face. And after I grew up in my teenage years, I was thinking, what's pshat? It's a funny thing. This is the only guy who's got enough happiness within himself to be able to share it with others. And that's what started him off to become frum. We're talking about developing and changing a midah through small increments over a long period of time. I feel that this is perhaps something that takes a tiny investment. All right, I guarantee you, the first few times you try it, they're going to think you were smoking something. You're going to walk in, good morning! You know, to the people at shul, you're never going to look that before. Yeah, good morning! So you know, maybe try it at home first. You won't be so embarrassed in front of your kids or your spouse. Try it. But with consistency. Each kid that wakes up, that comes to your room, or whatever it is, your wife, with consistency. I don't know the next time I'm giving this year. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I don't know when it's going to be. But let's see if we could consistently do it to 5 people every morning. 5 people. With your own, could be your own family members, people you're not embarrassed of doing it to. And you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at the reaction you get. But try to do it naturally. That means that you can't just do it, oh, we said that we have to make a smile. Good morning! Yeah, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. Good morning! Get back into bed. It has to come with at least start with some level of truth. That you're happy to see your child in the morning. You're happy to see your spouse in the morning. You're happy to see your friend in the morning. It starts with some, which requires a little thought ahead of time. You know, it shouldn't be an after effect. You see the guy go, oh, what's that? Good morning! Good morning! With a nice smile. And you try it. And what this does is an unbelievable thing. Like what this Baal Teshuva said. People are not ready to smile because they are not so happy within themselves to be able to give it off to others. People feel needy, especially in the morning before their coffee. They feel very needy. Needy, grumpy, still thinking, how much time did I sleep last night? They're not yet in the mode of giving. And when you could be mekabel es ha'odem l'sefer panim yafis, you're putting yourself into a caregiver position. You're making yourself into a giver, and that person is receiving. And number one, you start feeling in yourself the pleasure of giving. You start developing within yourself a true recognition of Ahavas Yisrael. The Hergel Nasa Teva, if it's consistent, you will actually start feeling happy to see another Jew. It's going to takes time. The water will make it through the rock. Takes time. But you're going to notice, give it a few weeks, you're going to already start noticing in a few weeks some difference. You're going to start feeling in yourself a greater ahava to the Jews that you go and greet. And not only do you feel better that you've been giving, they start being makertayv. They feel that they just got a matana shlema. It's an unbelievable thing. We don't realize what we're lacking. A true good morning, or it could be a good morning with a smile. A person's face is a tzelem. It's a tzelem. Human beings are tzelem elokim. We're like a shadow of a Kaddish Baruch. The Talmud Devarim says, this is Alpika Balena. I don't understand it. I'll read you the words. Whatever we could gain out of it, we'll gain. Panav tihiyena mi'iros tamid. A person's face should always be shining. V'yikabel kol adam b'sefer panim yafis. Everyone should be greeted with a very happy face. Shekein b'chvod el yoynema, regarding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, be'or p'nei melech chayim. That there's a light from the face of the King of Life. There's a light that shines forth from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face. Ve'im shum oidem v'din nichnas shom klal. In this high madrego, whatever this means, the Pnei Hashem, over there there's no midas hadin. Over there there's no din, there's no kas. The midas that are the shvera, harsher midas that we always are hopeful to try to avoid and stick to the midah of chesed, those midos don't reach, whatever this means, the Pnei Hashem. The Pnei Hashem is all R. It's all light. It's all good. Kach or panav. So too, if we're a tzelen elikin, we're Hashem's shadow. Lo yeshuna, your face should also shouldn't change. V'chala mestakel bam, someone who sees your face, lo yimtza ala simcha v'seiv upon him. They should only find happiness and a smiling face. V'shum siba lo tatudeyu mizekla. And nothing should ever cause your face to change. You could have troubles in your heart. This is a midah that takes not to allow the troubles of your heart to affect the way your face looks. That's a tremendous level. If we do this consistently for a few years, probably we'll get there. That's a very high level. Reb Shlomo Volber says about his father-in-law, Reb Avram Gudzinski, that he was known to have this midah, that he always, always was smiling throughout the war and the ghetto. He was killed, Al Kiddush Hashem. Throughout the war, within the ghettos, he was known to always be saying hello with a smiling face to everyone. And his son-in-law, Reb Shlomo Volber, asked him once, how do you do it? He says, oh, 2 years of work didn't go for nothing. That's what he said. Took him 2 years. It's a level to get to. We're not talking on such a high level right now. We're talking on a very simple, basic level. But what I wanted to bring out from here, perhaps, is that the reason why a smile makes such a difference to other people is because that Ur, Pnei Hashem, shines forth through your tzelem. Our actions, when they're not appropriate, Kivayachal, are blocking out God from the world. Gashmias, materialism, chet, it all darkens the world that we're not able to clearly see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. When someone's acting appropriately and specifically in what the Talmud Devar is saying, a person's face, if he doesn't cloud it up, the Tzelem Elokim, that Or from Hashem, shines through. And that's what people feel. A tremendous tainug. When you see somebody who has a true, not a fake, but a true smiling face, people feel a tremendous pleasure from it. It sounds like a joke. Why does it feel so pleasurable when somebody smiles at them? What is it? It's just a smile. It's talk a lot more than a smile. You're allowing the Ur Pnei Hashem to shine through to that individual. And it's a chesed that is unbelievable. And it takes a tiny investment, something I hope we could all practice a little, with a little consistency, and we'll all take a feel tremendous simcha from it. Good night.